Live from the DGS studios in Hollidaysburg, Pennsylvania, this is The Rut Report with your hosts, PA Rut Rob and PA Rut Brad. Take it away, gentlemen.
Welcome to PA Rut Report's Hunting, Fishing, and Outdoors 9th podcast. We want to first thank all of you for listening in last week. Thanks, Scared Fishers, for being here. They did a heck of a job. It was one of our most listened podcasts out of all of them, so hopefully it was informational for all of you, and hopefully you check Scared Fishless's lures out, because they're doing a heck of a job over there, and it's really working out for a lot of fishermen that are using them. Speaking of fishermen that are using them, I saw that our buddy, let's call him PA Rut Mike H., bought a couple packs of those.
Yeah, he did. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, he bought a couple packs of those.
He texted me all excitedly at like 12 o'clock at night. I got some Scared Fishless. I was like, yeah, you're drunk, aren't you? He's like, yeah, what of it?
How did his house stink or smell? Like garlic?
Yeah, probably, I'd assume.
Well, I took those in the camper to Raystown. Which I didn't get to do a whole lot of fishing due to the children running around, but
kids will do that too.
Well, they were interested for about 20 minutes, but anyway, I put them in the camper on the way there with the windows closed up and everything in my fishing bag. I opened that door and I immediately smelled them. So they definitely have a rank but good verbose taste for fish and all that.
So I used I was at Raystown also this last week, and we'll give them a good plug because I was using them. On the Raystown branch of the Juniata, right below the dam there. There's a little pavilion area down there. I think it's called Corbin's Island. We get in down there and then wade for about 2 or 3 hours. But I was using the 3.5-inch shad. I forget what the exact color is or the exact name of the color is, but it's purple. And I was hammering them.
Payday?
I think that is payday, yeah.
Is that the payday that you're using?
No, I think the payday is a green. But it's purple with a fleck, like a gold fleck in it. Yeah, he's doing pretty well.
At any rate, their stuff works. It's proven. I know a few other guys that are using it, and they say it's great. So check them out, Scared Fishless. Just Google it. Find their Facebook page. You'll find their website. And if you can't do that, email us at paretreport.com, and we'll help you out with that. Robbie, why don't you tell them a little bit what we're all about? While we're doing what we're doing.
The Rut Report. What is the Rut Report? A lot of people ask me, what is the Rut Report? And I think I might give a different answer every time I explain it to them.
Me too.
And every time I'm like, man, that sounded really good the last time I just explained what it is that we are and what we do. But anyways, we like to think of ourselves as a informational outlet of sorts for outdoor information, primarily hunting related, but I mean we talk about a little bit about everything. We talk about fishing, trapping, shooting, just general archery, anything across the board. But our big thing is the transition of the rut throughout the state of Pennsylvania, and what we provide is basically a real-time service that explains to you when deer are moving, why they're moving, what they're reacting to, what time of day, and what areas throughout the state of Pennsylvania. And that's primarily based on what we get on Facebook.
So and there is a pattern there.
Oh, no, there's
if you check that out, there is a pattern throughout the state on when deer are moving. And it may be within a half an hour, but still, that time frame is, or even an hour, but that time frame is unbelievable whenever you see people start chiming in. I saw this at this time. I saw that at that time. I saw this chasing this, and then all of a sudden you hear another guy from Tioga kind of saying, I saw this chasing this, and it's just like, it's there's definitely a pattern. You need to check it out and study it.
So, I mean, if you're unfamiliar with what we do on our Facebook page during the season, what we do are what we call roll calls, and it'll just be a post on our Facebook page right at the start of the day before daybreak. We get probably between 300 and 600 hunters actively posting on that string, the roll call string on Facebook. And really, it is a message board, basically, of what primarily WMU the hunter is hunting in, what they're seeing, when they're seeing them, if they're reacting to calls, what they're doing to prep preseason. There's a little bit of information about everything on there, so that's kind of what we're primarily about. We also like to help spread the word about anybody else who has a outdoor related event coming up in the state of Pennsylvania. If you guys want us to plug you, we'll plug you, no problem. Just send us the information, get on PARetReport.com and submit through the contact us page.
Very good description.
It sounded long to me.
It was long, but it was good. It was informative.
Oh, we'll give a shout out to PA Rep Mike, who couldn't join us this evening, but we have
he's the busiest non-busy man I've ever met.
He is the second busiest non-busy man in Blair County, Duncansville.
Anyway,
Hollidaysburg at the Argonne Cafe. Yes. But anyways, we miss you, Mike, but we have a fully capable replacement for PA Rep Mike tonight, and that is our good friend from episode we were trying
five.
To figure it out earlier. Was it five? Nah, it wasn't five.
Five, six. Yeah, five.
Scroll up once, Timmy.
Scroll up on that.
Junior had episode seven.
Seven. Yeah. I missed it.
Yeah. So what we were looking at was our website on a big screen TV at the studio, and it has a stream of our podcast episodes on the homepage. So if you want to check it out there, that's where they're at. But yeah, episode seven, we had a very special guest in honor of Memorial Day, G.I. Justin.
What's up, guys?
That was us.
One clap, I like it.
I
made one impression.
The crowd goes wild.
There was some Christmas music going on there or something. I don't know what it was.
Christmas in July?
Yeah, that's right.
I think so.
Get your lights out.
But G.I. Justin, thanks for joining us here.
Yes. Thanks for having me again.
So to remind you all of who G.I. Justin is, he is a vet, 82nd Airborne. How many years?
Four in the 82nd. Seven altogether.
Yeah. We had him on for Memorial Day. He is also a bow tech at Field & Stream. So the last episode seven, if you want to check that out after listening to this, because you hear G.I. Justin, you think, man, he sounds sexy, you can hear him again.
Yeah.
Episode seven.
Bow tech at Field & Stream, you have to be busy right now. Very busy.
It's getting busy. It's getting busy.
Selling a lot of bows, setting a lot of people up.
Yeah. I mean, tech and stuff, getting people set up. I would suggest now rather than after the 4th of July, if you wanted to get something done, I would come in and do it, because in the archery industry, it's like someone flips a switch and 4th of July comes around and boom, everybody wants to just go from a 3D setup to a hunting setup. So, which I usually don't change. Those pins never change.
Yeah, true.
20 yards is 20 yards, 30 yards is 30 yards.
Doing.
Yeah, I don't change a thing.
It's my hunting bow.
Yeah, I want to kill and eat something with it. So.
Yeah. Primary objective
is to
kill.
Eat.
Secondary objective of the primary is to eat that. Yes.
So, in lieu of our last conversation, a lot more women coming in, trying out bows, testing them out with their boyfriends or husbands.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always nice to see people getting into it, and that's what was awesome about Women Gone Wild. There was people that have never picked up a bow that were like, "I've never done this."
Yeah, there were good probably five women that came through that said, "I've never touched, looked at, seen. I don't even know what it is, a bow." And you get them, they pick them up, take one shot, hit a target, doesn't matter if they hit the bullseye, they just hit the target and they're ecstatic.
Yeah, the look on their faces does it there. Yeah, absolutely. So,
well, for me, I mean, I've been shooting bows since I was 16 years old.
You still get that same look every time you hit the target.
I'm just saying. He gets ecstatic. Every year, it gets later and later that I pick up my bow and start practicing. And I always come home and say, yeah, I'm going to shoot my bow today. And I'm like, whatever, I'll do it tomorrow. Right. Or I'll do it next week or whatever. And
then you go out and wound deer, and you wonder why.
Well, this is... Anyway, so
Pierre Brad doesn't.
It's not
deer.
That talk.
He doesn't
so,
want deer.
Anyway, so I put it off for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, but then as soon as I
and
pick
then
up
September.
That bow, as soon as I pick up that bow and start practicing, I shoot a few. I'm like, wow, that was fun. It sits there in my garage. I open it up. My bag sits right there next to it. It's that simple to go put it out. It's like the whole like getting into it, digging the bag out of your shed, digging the bow out, getting everything ready. Once you get past that, it's fun, and you'll shoot all the time. But that's what I struggle with every year, single year.
Oh, yeah.
Just
oh, yeah.
Digging stuff out, getting stuff back out, and getting out there and doing it. So
I walk past my bow all the time, this time of the year especially, and I think.
You just look at it going, ugh.
You know how much fun you've had with this throughout your life? And I'm thinking, yeah. You know how much fun 3D shoots are? I'm thinking, yeah. You know how lazy you are for not going out and shooting 3D shoots because it's cheap and it's fun and there's a lot of them going on, especially starting this time of year. Yeah.
This time of year it's tough because, like, I do commercial roofing full time, and then probably 20 hours at Field and Stream. You know, and last year I was doing 50 hours of roofing and 30 hours at Field and Stream. It was just tough. But I know the feeling. You walk by your bow and you're like, ugh. Or you come home from work and your girlfriend's in the driveway shooting her bow and you're like, man card revoked.
She's logging more hours. Logging more hours than me.
10x. It's like she's smoking a target. Whatever. Yeah.
Tisk.
Well, at least they're out there shooting.
But I'll tell you what. When you pull it out, you pull it back, you hit that target.
I'm good.
It feels good. Yeah. It feels good. Feels right. Everything else gone.
Thanks for that description.
Everything else gone.
It's the whole thing about getting it out for me. Once, Jesus. Once it's out, it's out for good.
Brad, put that thing away, Brad.
Ooh.
Choice words. At any rate. All right. So we're going to move on to.
What are we moving on to?
Since we're talking about bows.
Wait.
What do you want to do?
I don't know yet. Since we're talking about bows.
And
we were just talking about competitive shooting.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
How about Haley Coretti?
Yeah. Okay, we should talk about Haley Coretti. Is that what you... Did I cut you off from what
no,
you were
No, no, no. Heck no. I was getting into something else. I'm glad you stopped there.
I was going to talk to me about some smelts.
No, I was going to talk about anything, other than
anything.
That. Not that I didn't want to talk about that. It just was last on my list. She was on my list, though.
If you saw our Facebook page, we have a picture up there of a young lady who has shot in the 4-H National Archery Tournament. She is from our area here, which I know a lot of people don't know where our area is, but it's kind of like Duncansville,
Central Pennsylvania,
Hollidaysburg, Altoona area,
South Central Pennsylvania.
I forget how many different tournaments there were. Were there three prior to the national field, or were there two? I think it was like a regional.
Yeah, that I'm not sure. I know she did this area 4-H, and then she went to states and they won states.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next step was nationals.
So anyhow, she competed with a field of 109 shooters. And I believe it was a three-day. It was a three-day shoot. So the first day they shot paper. The second day, maybe it was just a two. Was it 2 days of paper and one 3D? I want to say there was another format in there, but I'm not 100% sure. But she ended up being the 59th shooter, I believe, out of 53rd out of 109, which is extremely commendable.
So the second day of competition in practice rounds.
Oh yeah, that's right.
First two arrows were Robin Hood. Yeah, I've never done that. Never.
How do they score that?
If it weren't
awesome.
A, if it weren't
an awesome column, yep. Check.
You get 35 bonus points, and you get to slap the guy beside you.
Yeah. Which was her dad, Tony.
Yeah, Tony got a good slap for that one.
But this was a team out there, correct?
Yeah, Pennsylvania.
It wasn't just her, it was
team.
A team.
Yep.
It was Pennsylvania's team out there in the Nationals. Okay, that's great.
19th out of 28, they took the team.
The team,
the PA
yeah.
team.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we'd like to give her a...
Her and her team.
Yeah, her and her team.
Huge
congratulations.
Shout out. Thank you.
And if you see if you see her old man around, give him pat him on the butt. He likes that.
Field and Stream archery counter.
His name's Tony. His name's Tony. He's a big baseball fan. They do the butt pat a lot.
Anyway. So thank you, Haley. So, yeah, thank you to
congrats,
her team.
Congrats.
For representing Pennsylvania and your competition, and congratulations on how well you did throughout the nation.
But I had to say that Nationals, they got to do it somewhere other than Nebraska. I've been to Nebraska. There is nothing there except antelope.
You might as well bring the Nationals to Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
that's what we're trying to say. Maybe we can. Yeah. Maybe we'll influence that. Well, 20 of our listeners will vote. We're signed the petition.
390-some last week.
Don't let anybody know about it.
That's good.
We want to sound low so people are like... We wanted to try to get the people to feel bad for you.
We had 1 million listeners last week.
1 million.
Anyway. So, how about this rain we've been having throughout the month of June? Now we're into July.
Has it been raining?
Apparently you work in an office.
I've
Is
noticed.
Is that a correct
I've
assumption?
Noticed, I've noticed.
Yeah.
Going back to woohoo, here you go. If you like to fish and you really want to get out and you know the water is going to be high, a good place to fish is below the Racetown Dam because it is a controlled area of water. There is no runoff into that area of the stream from any other creeks. So when you go in that area, the Juniata runs almost adjacent to the Racetown branch for a while, but where they meet, you kind of drive along around that area. It is fast and it is pure chocolate. And you get to that area of the Racetown branch of the Juniata, and it's fishable. It's clear.
It's calm.
Might be a little high. Might be a little high, but it's fishable.
What about when they dumped the dam?
I don't know how often they dumped the dam, or I don't know. I mean, I don't know how that's
regulated. They had to get, I mean, that lake, I'm not sure. I can't even put an inch on it, but it had to rise a pile of inches.
Yeah, you would think so. You would think so.
We had a power rain. The clothes rose up at my house. Hard, steady rain.
Have you seen the Dubois area? Mm-mm. Dubois is Main Street was like 3 foot of water. Yeah, it was terrible.
That's unbelievable. I guess that's all backed up drains. How does that get like? I mean, too much water at one point in time. I guess I don't know.
Yeah.
Mother Nature's crazy.
Saturday was ridiculous.
But it is helping out the crops. It is helping.
No. We definitely need the rain. From a fishing perspective.
I mean, everybody's corn is looking great. Knee high by the 4th of July.
Knee high.
Everybody's just knee high.
Knee high.
I mean, you see a few select farmers out there, but they got little.
They were doing something. They were doing something
ankle
wrong.
High.
Once you know, like Brad says, once it's out, ankle high.
That's what they say. Most of them are crazy.
But
crop's good.
Speaking about the rain, a lot of people complain about the rain, but really the rain does do a lot of good for us right now from a fishing standpoint. The rivers have been extremely low. Running extremely low throughout the beginning of the year, and this rain is well needed, as crappy as it is in relation to getting outside and doing stuff. But
especially on the weekends. Rain during the week, be nice on the weekends. That's all I ask for.
I can't believe we're still talking about rain.
Anyway, the rain.
That's what you wanted to go
crops.
Into.
That was leading into other things.
That was a big topic.
Crops.
The rain.
And you said your property this year, they usually plant corn there.
Mm-hmm.
They got away with the
corn. for the last 5 years, four
planting
years, five
soybeans,
years. Soybeans,
correct?
Yes.
So
it's about.
How is that affecting? I mean, I know as well as you know, us spotting up there is going to be awesome this year.
Yes. Yeah.
There's no corn to hide the deer. How are the deer reacting? I'm sure you've been up there.
Oh, I'm up there.
To see
yeah.
them coming
I can
out
give,
into the
I
fields.
Can give another.
You should be able to see so much more. It should be really exciting for
to
you.
To go into one real quick sub segment. I'm at 83 on the tick count.
No, Mike.
83 on the tick count.
We're still doing the tick count. I can't believe we're still talking about the tick count.
It's relevant. It's relevant. It's important. We're talking about rain. We're talking about tick. No, 83. Get Sawyer's. Get something permethrin to prevent ticks from getting on you.
Before we get back into the food plots, these little beetles that are flying around, they look like ticks.
Look like ticks,
flying
yeah.
beetles. Everybody says they're ticks. They're not ticks. They're flying beetles, I don't know, from Japan or wherever they're from.
Bull, yeah. I forget what they're called.
Something crazy, but they're flying beetles. They are not ticks.
But
freak out when you have 80 of them on your shirt. And don't wear bright colors. Or
I was going to say, construction green is the worst color.
Yellow is bad, too.
Yeah.
Yep. So, anyways, the land that I hunt is about 200 acres. Probably 75 to 80% of it is field. And for the past 5 years, it's leased out to a farmer who comes and has planted corn there for the past 5 years. He also plants corn on the adjacent property for the last 2 years, I think. So this year he has planted soybeans in that area. So it's about 130 acres of soybeans.
Did he plant corn on the neighbor's
property? But he planted corn on the neighbor's property.
That's so good for you.
So he's going to plant corn on the neighbor's. It'll probably be I forget what the cycle is, but it'll probably be a 4 or 5 year cycle there with that. And then soybeans, I'm not sure how long. I don't really know right now what kind of change to the patterning that we'll do in that area. I've seen a lot of deer so far this year, but not in any kind of travel pattern or.
The property I hunt in Ohio, the 7 acres we talked about before, the neighboring farmer, he does 4 to 1. 4 years of corn, a year of soy.
Yep.
But I will say the more spotting, the more poaching.
Yep. Mm. Oh yeah,
well, that
oh, yeah.
land's kind of landlocked.
Oh yeah, so this area, I'll tell you this. If somebody were to poach in that area, they would not poach.
They
in
would
that
be
area.
Poached.
Usually, you wouldn't make it.
They'd be in trouble.
Yeah,
I'd personally make sure of that.
While we're on that, what did you guys' take on spotting? You guys,
I
think
it
would help. Me
mixed
too.
Feelings.
Me too.
I like that the other states around us do not allow it. I think that would cut down on a lot of poaching. I
big
think that
bucks.
That's the reason the other states have that law in effect. You can't put a brake on lawful people. If you're unlawful, you're unlawful. I love it for me, for my friends, because I've never shined a spotlight out the window and shot.
Are we talking about gun control?
No.
Is that what you're talking about?
You can't talk about that.
Lawful person is going to be lawful.
Anyway, so we're talking about lawful people. So if you're going to go out there and spot and have a good time doing it and not sit there and
family
and hammer your horn and spook deer and shoot them out the window and stuff like that, I love spotting. However, I understand why other states don't allow it. And because Pennsylvania has such a high poaching rate, that's where the Game Commission busts most of their people. At night with a spotlight shooting. And I can't believe people are that dumb to do something like that, but they are. It's a high rate, and I think that Pennsylvania should outlaw it because of that.
I am the polar opposite opinion in that regard. For this particular reason, for me, one of the reasons why I hunt now and one of the first things for me that got me really wild about being outdoors, wanting to hunt, was going with my dad spotting at the age of 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That was one of the, during that time of the year, it was like my favorite thing to do. As a kid, leaning out the window, shining those beams, seeing anything is important enough to the sport, I believe, that if it's something that if you want to get your kids out there and you want to get them interested, you want to get them to a point where you can teach them things and they'll listen to you because they respect it because of the fact that they've been out spotting and see deer and understand why they're doing what they're doing. It, to me, is one of the best starters to get somebody interested in hunting.
I did the same thing with my dad whenever I was younger. He took me out. A group of his friends would go out. I'd be right there in the passenger seat with him, spotting all kind of deer. We would see, back then we would see 100 deer in one field, 80 in another, 50 in another. And, it's not that way now.
Do you guys remember going to Glendale?
There wasn't that many hunters back then.
And seeing hundreds of deer below the water tower. Do you guys remember that?
I never really spotted
I've,
it up yeah. there.
No. I've been to Glendale probably a dozen times.
We didn't need to leave.
Most of the time I was fishing. Yeah.
There was hundreds of deer out here.
Right. Well, see, that growing up, that was my area. You know.
Oh, yeah.
The water tower was 10 minutes from me. But I can remember, no lie, no exaggeration, 200 deer, mm-hmm. 250 mm-hmm. deer. Mm-hmm.
But how many of those were does? If you can remember correctly, how many times do you remember seeing an enormous buck spotting with your dad out in the fields?
Me?
Yes. Anybody? Good.
30 times, 40 times.
Okay. How many does to that buck?
A lot.
100? To that one buck. 30, 40 times. You've been out spotting a bunch of times. 30, 40 times to that one.
A lot of doe.
Okay.
A lot of doe. I'm in a high.
I don't see that anymore.
I'm in a high.
And I'm not saying that's a bad thing.
Well, I'll tell you what's a bad thing. And this is very relevant. I'm 34. I remember hunting from the age of 12 through the age of 24, 25, 26. Going out and seeing 30 deer a day. Growing up, getting at least a shot every two times out at something, almost. In that ratio of seeing deer in certain areas, but a wide enough base of areas that it's a herd thinning. The herd is way, way down from what it was back then, and that really sucks.
Of course it
is. To be honest.
But the buck-to-doe ratio
but still.
Is what you're after for a state hunting, or a hunting state, correct?
For a state hunt.
Yeah. So
for hunting state,
the buck-to-doe ratio is what you're after. So if you're looking for population of deer, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You're on a different path. If you're looking for a buck-to-doe ratio to improve your hunting experience, if you're a true hunter, then you're looking at a different point, right?
What if you're a false hunter?
And then you just go out in the woods, you know, two times a year, if that's your deal, that's fine. My brother's that way. But, you know, it is what it is. He rifle hunts. That's it. He can get off 2 days a year. He hunts 2 days a year.
Oh, yeah. We'll throw a plug out while we're getting down in time here. I'm going to give a plug out to archery season. Archery season, what I'm going to plug
you,
right
Robbie.
Now. Yeah.
We were waiting for some big corporate sponsor.
No, for archery what? Season.
A plug. No.
Archery season.
I knew you were going to say something like
no,
that.
No. If you did archery hunt, please archery hunt. You should archery
if
hunt.
If you archery hunt, please archery hunt.
No.
We'd appreciate actually, that. If you archery hunt and don't do anything but archery hunt.
Just archery hunt, yes.
No. But there are guys that can get out there 2 days a week.
Yeah.
That's
the reality.
I'm sorry, 2 days a hunting season for deer. They don't archery hunt. I'm not gonna bash anybody for not archery hunting. It's not everybody's deal. Like I said, the deer population, spotting, I don't know. You do a deer report on the Game Commission gets their reports at the end of the year. That is not anywhere near accurate.
How many guys
do not report their harvest? How many guys, not that that's a bad thing. I've done it. I have not reported my harvest. I'm not going to sit here and
wait a minute.
Yeah, say that I've reported every single harvest I've had.
I've never reported
a tag
harvest.
On every deer that I've taken.
Oh, yeah.
But I haven't reported it, but I've had a tag on every deer that I've taken. Now, how many guys don't report them after they tag them and or poach them and or use multiple tags? That number is completely inaccurate for our deer population.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. For the simple fact that I'm against spotting is, I've seen guys go out, and not lately. I mean, I'm in my mid 30s now, so not lately. But as kids, a guy go out and drop like the 12 point that everybody's talking about.
Oh yeah,
just to get a chuckle out of it.
Yep.
Who's quote unquote a hunter? You know?
Shoot them and leave them lay.
I mean, but I could go on a rant for that.
when we come back from break, we're going to talk about poachers. I think we're going to set up an outlaw.
We're going to get into poachers.
We're going to set an outlaw bounty hunter group up for Pennsylvania poachers.
I'm going to run out to a local bar, and I'm going to grab a poacher out of the bar. And there's one sitting there somewhere here. And
now you're a poacher.
Anyway, we're going to take a break right now. We'll be back. We're going to talk about – we're going to continue this talk about population, spotting, poachers. When we come back, we want to thank Scared Fishless again for being here last week. Scaredfishless.com or –
Your Google Emmy speech them. Is running too long.
It is not running too long. The music just started.
I know.
Anyway, PARetReport.com. Bring you our ninth podcast. We appreciate you tuning in. We'll be back. Thank you.
Thank you.
Fishing and outdoors. That song, which is going to keep playing because it's awesome, was because G.I. Justin is here.
So, yeah. So
I appreciate.
In the spirit of old
American,
school.
True American.
In the spirit of old school wrestling.
4th of July.
In the spirit of old school WWF.
Yeah,
WWF wrestling.
Hulk Hogan is the greatest man alive.
Every guest, every special guest that we have on the PA Rut Report
from
podcast
here on out.
From here on out. Will have their own entry music. So
is this
every time
that's mine?
That's your entry music from now on.
Man, it's gonna be tough to
beat.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Oh man. Well, that's a pretty good one. I don't think anybody's gonna beat that. Anyway.
I might run down Blair Street with American flag tonight.
All you need that is in your ears, through your phone. Nobody else needs to hear it. Do some outlandish things.
You got to rip your T-shirt off.
Yeah, oh, yeah, for sure.
They don't want that.
Fight for what's right.
And that's not my shirt is off is not right. I'm going to tell you that right now.
But still, if you're listening to that in your earphones at Sheetz, and you rip your shirt off right in the middle of Sheetz with nobody knowing what was going on.
Just plead temporary insanity.
You would still think it
if
was
you happen
awesome.
To see, if you happen to see a dude running down the middle of the street with a beard... jamming out, look like he's going a little schizo or something. That's just G.I. Justin.
For the real American. Anyway, so we're going to get back into this episode. We ended it with poachers.
I believe we were talking about smelt.
Heaven forbid these poachers come. Take our deer again this year.
Heaven forbid they come. The scourge. Like they haven't been here forever.
Take our deer again.
Take our deer. No, there are new regulations in relation to the trouble that you get in for poaching this year. Either that, it's either this year or they started it last year where it's now some kind
of trophy
heavier.
Fee.
It's some kind of heavier offense.
It's a trophy fee, I believe. They, from what I understand, however big that buck is that you shoot, they charge you a trophy fee for that animal.
Is this because of the scumbags in Elk County?
They killed the elk.
They killed three of them.
Three.
And
of them.
It would have been like the second
multiple
largest killed in Pennsylvania. Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's because of those guys, and it was. I think it took place before those guys.
I mean, that was a 370-inch bull. That was a monster bull.
I
didn't even think about that poaching elk. You know, whenever you think about poachers, you think about whitetail.
That was big news in oh, yeah, this that area was huge last news. Year. Yeah.
Think about whitetails.
Yeah.
Our elk population, so, you know, well, it's not low. I guess if we brought them in here, we're doing well with the elk population.
Right, yeah. They're not doing Kentucky well.
No. But that's a shame that you have guys go out there and hammer an elk at night. And I don't get the trophy. I don't get, like, and these guys are excited about it. These guys are excited about killing a 340-inch bull at night with a spotlight, killing a 150-inch buck at night with a spotlight. These guys are excited. They cheer each other on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, how does that sport?
Well, it's not. I mean,
it's a high. It's a high. It's not a sport.
It's a high.
How do you think that's a high?
It's a high for one. It's a high for one thing.
It's as easy as can be.
It's a high for one thing, and a lot of it, not to justify it in any manner at all, is the manner in which you're raised. A lot of it is that. There's a lot of backwoods hunters in the state of Pennsylvania that go out and shoot however many deer they want to shoot a year just to eat them.
Well,
that's still
okay. I see.
Still poaching. I'm not, like I said, I'm not poaching. Justifying anything, but
if
that's
you
part
have
of
a
it.
Farm, and you're allowed to shoot these deer because you have a farm and you have crop, and they give you those tags to do so. Go ahead and shoot them at night. Do whatever you have to do.
Oh no! Yeah.
To hammer them off because of your crop. Okay. Eat them, though. Don't shoot them and throw them in a ditch. Shoot them and either...
Or cut the horns.
Yeah, cut their horns off. Yeah.
Don't cut their horns off, leave them laying in a field. These guys, as far as I know, there's two farms that I know that are allowed to shoot deer basically whenever the heck they want because they have that many acres and a lot of crop. They eat them. They make them into product.
Yeah.
They do a lot of things with them. They do not leave them lay.
Well, there are multiple groups. And
there's families that they know that they give them to.
Well, there's multiple groups. Like, there's a group called Hunters Sharing the Harvest, which was a page that we liked probably a year and a half ago. But groups like that where you can donate. If you shoot a deer and you don't want the deer, you don't let it go to waste, you can donate your deer to a group like that, which then takes your deer, processes them, and then...
So that's during the hunting season.
Needy. Yeah, that's during the hunting season.
You can't poach a deer and take it to these groups. Right. Like, oh, I shot a 12-point. I cut its horns off. Here's the deer.
Right.
Can't do that.
No.
Still poaching.
I don't think they could justify being open that time of year for all that stuff.
Yeah. I just can't stand the people that shoot them and get excited about, like, killed a 12-point tonight at midnight on a backcountry road. Unbelievable.
Boo to them.
They should be locked up. The penalty should be more severe.
No, I really
think... It should be better than a fine.
Well, Pat, no,
a
there is...
Slap on the wrist,
no,
losing your hunting license. If you're losing your hunting license, it doesn't matter. You're unlawful anyway. If you want to hunt, you're going to go hunt. If you want to carry a gun, you're going to go carry a gun. They can't... If they take your license, or say you can't buy a license this year, okay, I'm going to go out and hunt anyway. I don't give a shit what you think. I'm going to go out and hunt anyway.
Beep.
And make it happen for myself, because I'm unlawful anyhow. I'm out shooting a gun out of a window on a public road.
Oh, but no, really, they did.
Daytime.
They increased what happens to you. Not what we were talking about before. What is the trophy fine or trophy fee or whatever it is?
Yeah, something like
that. They increased the severity of the from a legal standpoint. What happens to you when you poach an animal? I don't think it's a felony, but it's something that could include jail time, I believe.
And take your firearm. You should not be able to possess a firearm.
Oh, yeah.
At least for a certain period.
Yeah, for life.
Life. Don't poach. You get your firearm taken for life.
New rules.
According to Rob.
New rules in the state of Pennsylvania.
New rules of PA Rut Report. We catch you poaching, PA Rut Report.
Rule with an iron.
That's right.
Fist.
Your name will be on there for poaching.
We'll call you out. We'll call you
on
out.
On our feed every day.
It'll be like, I won't even go there. Yeah, we'll just call you out.
Just less than a year. 322 days.
You'll be publicly shamed on the Rut Report if we find out you're poaching.
Yeah.
A lot of poachers out there shaking in their shoes.
Shaking
right
their
now.
Boots right now.
Shaking
up
in their muck boots.
Any rate, these guys have no place owning a spotlight or a firearm.
So
take all their lights away.
What you're really talking about, Pierre Brad, what you're really talking about here is banning the sale of spotlights in the state of Pennsylvania to males over the age of 23 with brown hair that are under the height of 5'6"
and wear t-shirts.
And wear t-shirts.
Something like
that. some of the time. Ban spotlights.
That's
the answer. Sales. That's the answer. You want to stop poachers?
And skinny jeans. No skinny jeans sales. No skinny jeans sales.
What happens to skinny jeans? Off the shelf, it's the poachers. With the spotlights.
I wear those like Under Armour thermals.
You heard it here. P.A. Rub Brad is going to run for mayor of Duncansville.
Is there a mayor of
Duncansville? On the platform of banning spotlights.
By Under Armour thermals, does he mean yoga pants?
Depends on who's looking.
They're thermals, that's all I got to say. All right, so we're moving on. We're off the poachers. You guys suck. If you're listening and you're a poacher, you suck.
You suck. We're going to hunt you down.
Tell you right now.
We will. No, here. We will publicly shame you if we find out who you are.
Yeah, don't listen to our podcast anymore.
Then we'll get sued for defamation of character, and we'll be taken down off of Facebook.
It's all right.
Something like that.
Doesn't matter. Dislike us or whatever you do on Friend or whatever you got to do on Facebook. But if you're a patron, you're listening, we don't want you to listen. Anyway.
You're banned.
You're banned from listening.
Banned.
So anyhow, we'll move on.
Wait. You know what's going to happen to you if you poach?
Oh, Jesus.
You know what's going to happen to you?
I'm not the poaching.
Oh, that is totally the wrong song. All right. I messed that up. Anyways, going on. Yeah.
Can we move on?
No poaching. What's next? On? I see you thinking really hard over there.
I'm not thinking anything. I think it's a very, very cool subject.
Here we go.
Very, very cool subject.
For another plug.
But very, very dangerous
you ready
subject.
For this? You ready for this plug? Jesus. You ready for this plug?
My land.
We're going to talk about rain.
We already had rain.
Real quick, you said my Lanta. A cool story.
My Lanta?
Not about my Lanta, about Atlanta. A buddy of mine texted me today. He was like, hey, man, I heard you on PA Rut Reports podcast. It's awesome. I was like, funny story. I'm going there right now. But anyhow, he's in Atlanta right now doing a internship. Been down there a year. He's like, PA Report's the only thing that gets me through. The podcast is awesome. I can't wait to get back up here. So it really didn't hit me what it is you guys do till that point. I'm like, this is
love
awesome.
Love hearing that stuff.
Jared Wood, shout out to you, buddy.
Jared Wood, thanks for listening. Pass it on to your buddies down there.
Like, share, comment.
If you know any poachers down there,
Hotlanta.
Get after them.
Hotlanta.
Hotlanta. Yeah. I thought that was awesome.
That is awesome. No, that is awesome.
That is great. We're going to talk about the recent shark attacks down
Why
the East Coast.
Are we talking about shark
this
attacks. It's
an interesting subject. And I'm a big shark fisherman. You guys are like these bass fishermen and trout fishermen, you know. I fish
sharks.
A little bit of trout. My big thing is go after sharks.
You sissies.
So,
do you need a bigger
I'm
boat?
A big shark fisherman.
Do you need a bigger boat? Fisherman.
I fish from the shore. I don't need a boat. Fish from the shore with a kayak and a cast net and 10 to 12 foot surf rods, surf spinning rods, with reels on them that hold 80 pound braid. We use a 320 pound mono leader off of that braid with a 400 and some pound steel leader off of that. The leader that we use is about 10 feet long. I like the sound coming in. 10 feet long. We kayak our baits out, live baits out with attached to the kayak and put it out there about 200 yards. Guy from shore waves whenever it's good to go, drop it and just wait for shit to happen and it's great.
Beep.
What's the biggest shark? That's awesome because I mean they're man eaters, dude.
Yeah. Prehistoric animals.
Absolutely.
I love the music. I can't even talk about this.
What's the biggest shark you've ever caught?
6 foot. I personally had a 6 footer on the beach.
That's wild.
It's wild. It's crazy. As long as you don't get it, if you get a spinner shark, it's hard to get them. If you get anything over a 5 foot spinner shark, they jump out of the water and wrap their bodies around the line. That's how they break
then
it.
They spin.
It's nuts. You have to be so in tune with what you're doing trying to beach one of those.
Now, is this through a guide or you go out and do this yourself?
No, we just do this ourselves. Yeah.
That's awesome.
We get on there once a year. We get on there for a week straight, and we fish for 7 days straight. 6 days straight because we have to leave. But it's an unbelievable time. It's some of the most fun I've ever had fishing
in my life.
I'll
bet.
Some of those intense moments. I mean, you're dragging, you know, whenever we're kayaking these baits out, you're dragging, you know, whether we catch greenbacks or whatever we're catching, but you're dragging a 10, 11, 12-inch fish behind you kicking on a leader, and you're kayaking out, you know, and this thing's attached to your kayak with a swivel, you know. And once you get out there and you're 200 yards out, you know, and a guy's waving at you, okay, go ahead and drop it. You got to put your oar down. You have to reach back and unlatch that swivel. And that fish the whole time out there is
flopping and, you know, flapping
10 feet underneath your kayak.
Right.
Flopping around and stuff like that.
Sounds smart.
Right now, if a shark would grab it at that moment,
you'd be
in a world of shit.
Yeah.
You'd be in a world of shit. I'm using shit a lot tonight.
Sorry.
Beep.
Let's keep this PC.
Sorry. But anyway.
Earmuffs.
So you'd be in a world of hurt out there. Not saying that would, but it'd be attached to your kayak, and that shark would hit that fish and drag your kayak away.
That's wild.
So we were doing that for a while, and we realized that we had a kayak that had a...
kayak was a bobber?
They had a... Well,
for the most part.
Really. So
you were like a tube bait out there?
I mean, it never happened. It never happened.
Right.
But we were thinking that. You know, yeah. It could happen.
You're like skimming along the top of the water,
so,
like,
you know,
a tiny
out
torpedo.
There, you're sitting there 200 yards out, and you're sitting there floating in the ocean, and you're finicking, like, I need to get this thing off my kayak. So we figured out that, you know, you put your, there's a waterproof container in the back that snaps on with a big rubber lid. And we put our sinker in that. And that way, if something would hit it on the way out, it would pop the, you know, the rubber ring and release everything, and you'd be good to go. But it is a little bit intense still, even with that going on. To kayak those things up, but it's fun, man.
I'll guarantee it.
In all seriousness, it's fun. We have
should be good fishing this going on right now.
We have cast nets, and what we do is we throw them in the surf a lot unless we see a school of fish that's able to get to, and we'll wait out there, you know, up to, you know, right at the bottom of our chest, just so we could throw that cast net. You know, it's a 9 to 12 foot cast net, so you got to get some oomph into it so you can't get buried up to your neck in water. But whenever you're out there and you're in this school of fish and you see this big purple blob coming at you, you know, and you're like, oh my goodness, we got to get out there. Well, you're out there. Well, these fish are jumping out of the water. You know why? Because predator fish underneath them. And it's not just sharks. It's all kind of fish. It's
right.
Bluefish. It's
right.
It's all kind of different fish. But ultimately there are sharks underneath there. And you get out there and you're, you know, within 10 yards of these guys trying to throw a cast net on them. And, It's pretty intense, man. I mean, like you have that feeling in your gut, in your heart. You're just like, pum, pum, pum,
I saw
pum.
A crazy
it's unbelievable.
Statistic somewhere.
Adrenaline.
Oh, I guarantee it. But I saw a crazy statistic that said, like, it was an ungodly amount of people. If you've been to the ocean, in the ocean, you've had a shark within 3 feet of you. And I was
at
like,
some point in time.
Wait a minute.
I'm good. I'll just sit on the beach with my butt light. Yeah.
People talk about something bumped them in the ocean. I'm not saying this will scare anybody, but I've had, whenever I was out there fishing, you know, waist deep or whatever I'm doing, or I'm throwing a cast net, I've had stuff bump me all the time out there. Hit me in the leg. What the heck was that? Well, it's sharks, or it's fish bumping you.
Yeah.
Sharks.
It could
it's
be
definitely sharks.
Could be sharks.
Could be sharks. Could be
or
sharks.
It could be that you're just letting
but
it hang
I'm saying
out.
It's fish bumping you. It's not just like, no, something bumped me, I'm good. No,
yeah.
That was a fish. That
yeah.
was a shark. That was a big
yeah,
blue fish. That was
yeah.
a big permit. That was something
shark.
Bumping you. Or a stingray bumping you. It's definitely crazy out there, man. There's so many different fish, different species out there. It's insane to even go out there.
So you
speaking
went,
of sharks, Shark Week's like next week.
Yeah. You went way off course. Not way off course.
Shark, well, we're talking about the shark attacks.
We're going to talk about shark attacks.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited. Then you went into something. I'm not excited about all the shark attacks, but I'm excited that all these sharks are on the East Coast.
You insinuated that my comment there was a negative in nature. You know, it's positive.
I have one complaint. Next week, I'm going on vacation to go see Luke Bryan. Okay?
Is that the complaint?
Not my choice. He's going to fish for sharks.
That's right.
There's got to be some kind of compromise.
Can we put
here.
That on a scale?
Yeah. One definitely outweighs the other.
The heat I take from my wife is...
worth it.
Well, yes.
Yes. So anyways.
But I do take some heat.
I'll bet you.
As I was going to say, you strayed a little bit off course. In a good way, because you made the topic interesting. But all those shark attacks. The carnage. All those shark attacks. You know what
it is. I got
bit
in the foot.
You know what it is.
From Dubois, Pennsylvania.
You know what it is.
I give a shout out to him.
You know what it is.
If you're listening.
You know what it is. Jaws 13.2 is coming out
40th year
in October.
It's 40 years?
Marketing, baby.
You're saying 70's putting
on. I'm saying that all shark attack posts that you see on Facebook right now are a promotional plug for.
It's not a conspiracy, it's tactical.
The number of shark attacks right now is no higher than it's been any year before. It's just you're being fed. You're chum. You're in chummed.
Fair long energy. The old Spanish lady.
Here's a swimming with bow-legged women. So anyways, take that Confederate flag down. We're not going to get into that.
All right.
That's a tiny little... I'm just throwing
that
out.
That's a tiny little something. Spotlight. I'm not even getting into that right now.
What we're really talking about
the sharks. We're going back to the shark attacks.
No. What we're really talking about is spotlight control.
Well, here's what I wanted to say. Shark attacks, stuff like that. A Dubois man got attacked.
It first came out, got attacked by a shark.
Fine.
Attacked.
You got attacked. Good.
Good.
Good. Good for you.
Good.
Good. No, not good.
Look, you're good. You said good.
Well, anyway.
No, not good.
Say good. Anyway. They later came out and said, a Dubois man got bit in the foot by a shark. The attack thing is kind of, they're blowing it out of proportion.
As
an attack?
I count it as an attack, yeah.
They're attacking you by biting you in the foot.
A bite is an attack.
They're not attacking you.
I've been attacked by,
like,
I've been attacked by
attack,
bluegill.
Like a shark bites you once, and then bites you again, and then bites you again, and maybe a second one comes in from out of the blue. You don't even see him coming, and all of a sudden, he's there biting you.
Oh, yeah.
That's an attack.
No, I legitimately...
I'm probably going to get bit
legitimately.
By
karma. Instant karma.
I was in the water. I was in the water about mid-belly deep in Racetown Lake.
Mid-belly deep in Racetown.
Oh,
my goodness.
And I got attacked.
A song in your head.
Is that,
I got
that's
attacked.
Above the belly button?
I got attacked. Right at the belly button level, I got attacked by a bluegill. Maybe two or three of them. Did you see anything about that on Facebook?
No.
No? What? They were nasty. They're racist little suckers. Ooh, but I will say something in relation to Racetown Lake. At Seven Points Marina, if you get a chance to go out to Seven, you have a good story about this.
Are we going
to
go on?
No, this is a good one. This is real quick. A plug. Seven Points Marina, Racetown Lake. If you go there, you can throw dog food in the water and see thousands of carp. Big carp. All in one area. There's a picture of my son there feeding these carp. And
is there a no-bow fishing sign?
Oh, yeah. There isn't a sign. They just assume you know that.
Anyway, for this shark fishing, this is going to be my first go at the new GoPro that I just bought. GoPro video coming with us kayaking out, us casting the cast nets, us doing everything. And I'm going to have another video camera there trying to capture all this stuff. For you guys to see how we do things out there. I'm going to show you the leaders. I'm going to show you the hooks. Kind of trying to explain to you what we're doing. It's going to be my first go personally in PA Rut Report's first go at putting something together on video for you guys to see via PA Rut Report. I hope that it's successful. We've had success in the past.
I hope
it looks like.
I hope you get bit, but not
with my GoPro.
I hope you get nibbled on the attacked on. I hope you get attacked on the foot. But it's not that bad.
So you hope I get bit with my GoPro on. That's what you want.
It would make a great viral video.
It would make a great viral video. However, we're going to try and do this. It's going to be awesome.
That's good, yeah.
I hope I don't get attacked.
Attacked.
By a shark.
Hashtag.
Hashtag. Attack. Attack. Anyway.
So yeah, I know. Yeah. We're going to start a video channel. YouTube channel. The Rut Report YouTube channel.
We are.
All kinds of interesting
fun stuff coming at you.
Yeah. The first video on there is going to be, like, you ever see a
shark
video?
Attacks.
Did you ever see a video of somebody riding an amusement park ride that is, like, really, really scared? There's been a couple I've seen, like, those big, like, slingshot things that shoot people out. People, like, screaming and crying and throwing up on themselves. I want to see a video of P.A. Rut Brad canoeing out or kayaking out 200 yards and screaming and sweating and.
Dude, it is intense out there. I'm not going to lie. It's in the back of your head the whole time.
Well, no shit.
Beep, beep, beep. Beep, beep, beep. I think we should be allowed to use shit on this podcast from now on.
Apparently you are.
Yeah. We just made it official. We're going to say shit. If you guys don't like it, we apologize.
You are really loosening up your,
your vocabulary.
I had a different outlook on life.
You were very staunch. You were very staunch up until this point. Brad, P.A. Rut Brad is the mother of the group.
No, we shouldn't do that.
Don't you swear.
We shouldn't do that.
Don't you cuss.
Just because we said it 12 times already. At any rate.
Anyway.
It's going to be good. We're going to do all the stuff with the videos and try and get you guys some informational whatnots on tree stand safety and tree stand hanging and mineral sites. And Robbie's going to chime in with something. Go ahead.
I'm trying to come up in my mind with what I'm going to put on this video channel.
Yeah,
because
I
think that's what we're supposed to be talking about. But no.
The video channel?
We can have. Well, we'll have other stuff on there as well. I think a good thing to be, and I'll use myself as a reference for this, archery preparedness, getting your gear ready to be out shooting right now and getting it ready for the season. What I was going to say for myself, replacing my bowstring. I think my bowstring is probably 10 years old right now, which is pretty old. So we'll have stuff on the channel in that regard as well. Preparation, what you should be doing, paying attention to this time of year. Our YouTube channel is going to be coming up off the hook big time.
Go support House Bill, Pennsylvania House Bill 1374, Sunday hunting.
There
support
we go.
Oh, man. We just dropped that whole Sunday hunting
thing. Support it.
Boom.
Sharks. It was introduced to the legislation last
you
week.
You wanted to talk about sharks, Brad.
Well, sharks are in now, man.
Shark week in. Next week. Shark
we're
week.
We're talking about sharks next week, too.
What percentage of our listener audience
fishes for sharks?
Fish for sharks.
Zero. But what percentage
of
our
audience
are interested? Maybe all of them.
Six of them.
I'm interested in stuff that I don't do, mostly, because everything that I do.
You already know about.
Do, I know about.
All right. But anyway, it's Sunday hunting, yeah.
Yeah, if you want information on it, the NRA, ILA, Grassroots Division, Google that. They got all the information you need. Also, Lexi Higgins, she's the one in charge right now of running a petition to get Sunday hunting in Pennsylvania.
And just to let you know, to throw this out there, PA Rut Report and all of its members are 150% for Sunday hunting. There's nothing wrong with it.
Wait a minute.
You're for it.
Wait a minute. No, I'm like 89.375% for it.
Well, the other members of the group that are 150 trump your 89. So
I'll say this for it. As a father, I love it. As a tool to enhance what it is that we should be enhancing, I love it. Getting people out there that otherwise never would be able to, I love it. It needs to happen. That's the 89.
And this new House bill, it's not just Sunday hunting. It's relative to all seasons and bag limits. It's like right now you can go out and hunt crows on Sunday. We're not talking about that. We're talking about going out and hunting deer, and anything that's in season, you should be able to hunt on Sundays.
Yep. Yep.
House Bill 1374, Pennsylvania.
It's a different
House
world
Bill.
Today. Anything you want to add Heck, before I close up?
If you got to take down a Confederate flag, you should be able to hunt on Sunday, right?
We're not talking about the Confederacy. Anyway.
Anyways.
You have anything to add, Rob, before we close out, please?
We are closing out. It was that quick. Check out all our other podcasts. This is episode 9, so obviously there are 8 other episodes before this. G.I. Justin was on episode 7. If you'd like the sound of his voice and you think you want to hear him again, check out episode 7 and then check out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 8. Check us out online, PARedReport.com, Scared Fishless. Check them out.
Check out one of our sponsors,
Hunga-Munga.com.
The new broadhead. Hunga-Munga.com, the new age retractable broadhead.
The new broadhead.
It is going to be awesome. You guys are going to love it. We're going to use it this year exclusively.
Make sure.
We're going to show you some video, hopefully, of us harvesting some public and private land PA whitetails.
Make sure you sign the statewide petition to ban spotlights.
Ban spotlights? I don't think we're going to send that message. However, joking. Thank you all for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to G.I. Justin for being here.
Yes,
thank you. Appreciate having me.
The real American.
And thank you for all of our previous special guests. We thank you guys, too. We're going to have you all back because you guys were all awesome.
With theme songs.
Yes. All right.
All right. PA Rat Report.
We'll see you next week.
Checking out.